He'd saved the small handful of empty cartridge casings for the pistol, but they were gone with everything else. He should have kept them in his pocket. He'd even lost the last one. He thought he might have been able to reload them out of the 45 cartridges. The primers would probably fit if he could get them out without ruining them. Shave the bullets to size with the box cutter. He got up and made a last tour of the stores. Then he turned down the lamp until the flame puttered out, and he kissed the boy and crawled into the other bunk under the clean blankets and gazed one more time at this tiny paradise trembling in the orange light from the heater. And then he fell asleep. The town had been abandoned years ago, but they walked the littered streets carefully, the boy holding onto his hand. They passed a metal trash dump where someone had once tried to burn bodies. The charred meat and bones under the damp ash might have been anonymous, save for the shapes of the skulls. No longer any smell. There was a market at the end of the street, and in one of the aisles, piled with empty boxes, there were three metal grocery carts. He looked them over and pulled one of them free and squatted and turned the wheels, and then stood and pushed it up the aisle and back again.
"We could take two of them," the boy said.
"No,
I could push one."
"You're the scout. I need you to be our lookout."
"What are we going to do with all the stuff?"
"We'll just have to take what we can."
"Do you think somebody's coming?"
"Yes, sometime."
"You said nobody was coming."
"I didn't mean ever."
"I wish we could live here."
"I know."
"We could be on the lookout."
"We are on the lookout."
"What if some good guys came?"
"Well, I don't think we're likely to meet any good guys on the road."
"We're on the road."
"I know."
"If you're on the lookout all the time, does that mean that you're scared all the time?"
"Well, I suppose you have to be scared enough to be on the lookout in the first place, to be cautious, watchful."
"But the rest of the time you're not scared?"
"The rest of the time?"
"Yeah."
"I don't know. Maybe you should always be on the lookout. If trouble comes when you least expect it, then maybe the thing to do is to always expect it."
"Do you always expect it, Papa?"
"I do. But sometimes I might forget to be on the lookout." He sat the boy on the footlocker under the gas lamp, and with a plastic comb and a pair of scissors, he set about cutting his hair. He tried to do a good job, and it took a long time. When he was done, he took the towel from around the boy's shoulders, and he scooped the golden hair from the floor and wiped the boy's face and shoulders with a damp cloth and held a mirror for him to see.
"You did a good job, Papa."
"Good."
"I look really skinny."
"You are really skinny." He cut his own hair, but it didn't come out so good. He trimmed his beard with the scissors while a pan of water heated, and then he shaved himself with a plastic safety razor. The boy watched. When he was done, he regarded himself in the mirror. He seemed to have no chin. He turned to the boy. "How do I look?" The boy cocked his head.
"I don't know," he said. "Will you be cold?"